Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the Buckmaster Show. We are off and running on Tuesday, August 16th, 2022. The Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030 KVOI, The Voice. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. For more than 30 years, Tucson-based Watermark Retirement Communities has been a top 10 ranked senior living operator in the United States with more than 70 communities coast to coast, including five here in Tucson: Watermark at Oro Valley, the Fountains at La Cholla, the Hacienda at the Canyon, the Hacienda at River, and Watermark at Continental Ranch in Marana. This summer, Watermark is celebrating the exciting unveiling of 20 new luxurious independent living residence properties at the Hacienda at the River. Joining me in studio, June Hussey, membership director for the Hacienda at the River. Hey, June, good to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you again, Bill.
Boy, you've been in this business, senior living business, now 35 years. You've seen so many changes, just like I've seen so many changes in broadcasting, but what are some of the things that jump out at us the way this business has changed?
Oh, my goodness. Well, when we opened our first community in 1987, people really didn't have many options available to them. Back in the day, it was either stay at home and have family care for you if you needed care, or go to the nursing home. Today, there are so many amazing options that retirement age people have to consider that it's just mind-boggling.
And you go all the way back to the kind of the landmark property, the Fountains at La Cholla. This was the foundation for Watermark founder David Freshwater, who hired you very early on. You may have been the number one or first hired employee. What was David's vision? What did he want to accomplish when he started in the business?
Well, when we first got into the business, we really didn't even intend to stay in the business. We were going to build a community and sell it. But what happened was we got into the business itself and found that it was really a calling for us, and it really fit with David's background in both architecture and finance and making connections in the community. And we quickly sort of centered ourselves on a mission, which is creating extraordinary and innovative communities where people thrive. There was so much opportunity in this field to kind of change the way people could age. And we kind of grasped onto that, and we've been going with it ever since.
So Watermark started right here in Tucson, and the expansion has just been tremendous in really keeping with the baby boom generation. I mean, there's so many people my age. They're looking now, what's the next chapter?
Well, the next chapter for baby boomers like us mm-hmm. is, to continue to be independent for as long as possible. And we're really excited about what we're offering now at the Hacienda at the River, 23 independent living apartments that are simply breathtaking, that really allow people to pursue a life of purposeful engagement. So that if they retire from a job they love, like say mm-hmm. they're a radio person who loves sure. to interview,
yeah.
They move to the Hacienda at the River, and we could give them an opportunity to interview on our in-house TV channel the fellow neighbors
really?
And associates You've and
got
family
an in-house,
members.
TV channel.
We wow. sure do, yes.
Wow. Or the personality could take part in your lecture series.
Exactly. So we have Watermark University, which really Whoa. Gives people a chance to share their hobbies, interests, and passions with one another. And that really keeps vocational wellness alive.
So the Hacienda at the River is part of what you call the Elan Collection?
Yes. Yeah. The Elan Collection is a special brand put forth by Watermark, which is really quite new. We started with both Hacienda properties in Tucson. We're the first members of the Elan Collection, and now we've spread across the country. But they really are kind of an elevated brand with amenities that you won't see everywhere, and kind of a personalized high-touch service level.
Including a stables.
At the Hacienda at the River, yes. We were the first community that I am aware of in the whole country that has on-site stables.
So let's talk about how this all comes about. You've got very nice-sized apartments, really beautiful apartments, but the footprint itself is rather small for the entire community.
Yes, yeah. And that's what makes it really unique. There is nothing else like it in Tucson. The size of it is, you know, it's a little bit bigger than, if you compare it to hospitality, it's bigger than a bed and breakfast, but it's certainly not as big as, you know, a Hacienda del Sol or La Paloma type hotel experience. So for people who don't necessarily want to live amongst 200 or 300 of their peers, It gives them an opportunity to find a place where they can be comfortable amidst maybe 40 peers And have the same types of services, but on a smaller scale.
Kind of compare it to like a cruise ship experience. You know, when cruise ships started out, it was just big ships with thousands of people. And now there are these smaller cruises with less than 100 people on a cruise.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So there's something for everyone in Tucson.
So what would be the best way to check out your... And we've not given the location. Where are you along the river?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the location is just east of River and Campbell. So it's quite close to St. Philip's Plaza.
Right.
We are right at the base of Hacienda del Sol Road, and we back right up to the Loop. So it gives our members easy access to the Loop, walking distance to St. Philip's, and all of that goes on in that part of town.
How about memory care, June Hussey? What if people need that?
Well, absolutely. We have assisted living and memory care as part of the Hacienda at the River campus. Those have been open now for over 5 years. So We are now finally bringing the last component, which is independent living, to the campus to make it complete.
And if you are kind of getting in on the ground floor, there might be some opportunities there that would be cost-saving opportunities.
Absolutely. We still have some room left for our founding members. We call it the Founders Club. So you can be a part of a brand-new community and benefit from some savings as well.
So this would appeal to some folks that, you know, they love to travel. They could pretty much close up shop and know everything is completely secure, and they come back and it's like the day they left.
Exactly. That's a big reason people join a community like ours. Maintenance free. They can enjoy meals on site. We have two restaurants at the Hacienda at the River. Yes. So very personalized chef experiences where the chef will know exactly how you like your eggs cooked.
How about bar facilities?
Oh, absolutely. You know, baby boomers wouldn't be happy without a full-service bar. So we do have that as well.
Okay, June Hussey, for more information, do what? I guess you could, one easy way would be just Google Hacienda at the River.
That is certainly an easy way. We have a fantastic website that you can go on and learn all about the Hacienda at the River. Watermarkcommunities.com is the address, but you can also call 485-1060. And that will get you directly to our membership associate who can fill you in on all the details.
Yeah, I was looking at your website. It's pretty darn impressive. I mean, over 70 properties. And these are, they look beautifully cared for.
Yes. Yeah. The aesthetic of the environment has always been very important to us at Watermark. And, You know, I encourage everyone who is listening to come out and take a look at the Hacienda at the River because it is simply gorgeous.
All right. June Hussey, who really was there from the beginning with founder David Freshwater, back with the fountains, which the fountains kind of the property that started it all, and it's still going strong.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, June, great to see you again.
Reconnecting.
Thank you, Bill. We've known each other a long time. It's great to see you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure. We'll take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show, Tuesday, August the 16th. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
This is John Trout. Start your day well-informed and join me for America in the Morning, weekday mornings at 5 before Wake Up Tucson on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, the man himself, the man, the legend, Mr. Mr. Shelley Fishman. We thank June Hussey. Good information, Shell, about retirement. And June was kind of there at the beginning of some of the retirement, well, certainly with Watermark here in town, and she's been in the business 35 years. Things have changed so much.
Really, the quality and livability of assisted living and senior senior living facilities has just changed a great deal. And one of the nice things about Tucson is, as we compare, say, these kind of facilities in Tucson to the rest of the country, mm-hmm. they're a little more affordable.
Yeah.
Here in Tucson. So yeah. so it ain't cheap, but it's something that, as you're getting older and thinking about retiring, one of the, you know, possibilities that you could look at certainly is giving up your home and moving into a facility mm-hmm. that has many more services.
Oh, all
and
the
as,
amenities,
as you said,
yeah.
you don't have to worry about maintenance.
No.
You don't have to worry about
no.
all of those things. There's some, you know, a lot to be said about it.
Yeah, you want to take off for the summer, get away from the heat, close
Absolutely.
Things up for 3 months. The New York Times Sunday in the business section was talking about retirement.
Gosh, how did it know?
I know.
So it's a great bridge. I wasn't going to go spend a lot of time on this article, but it's by Tara Siegel Bernard, and the headline, and it's the front page of the business section on Sunday, and it's available online, of course, The Tricky Financial Math of Retiring into a Downturn. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as all mass media mm-hmm. articles are, it's very general, but it's if you're thinking about retiring, if you're worrying about retiring in a downturn, mm-hmm. just in general, it gives you some really nice pointers, mm-hmm. The kind of stuff that you can bring to a financial advisor and say, hey, what about this?
Yeah.
Are there some things here we should be doing? And, you know, as you get older, Bill, there's two kinds of advice you need mm-hmm. besides medical advice. That's
yeah.
something different entirely. You need financial advice.
For sure.
You need to be planning that.
Yeah.
But you also need advice for your estate and estate
yes,
planning.
That's so true.
You have to have those documents in place. You have to be doing that. Your financial advisor will pound the table mm-hmm. and say, you got to do it. You got to do it. No, we don't. Nobody likes to write a will.
No.
Nobody likes to do a trust. But you got to do that. And so, you know, as you're getting into your, you know, late 50s, early 60s, certainly no later than that,
no.
you should be thinking very, very carefully about the package of estate documents that you need to just put your mind at rest, and then make sure that every 5 years or so you update them.
Good advice. Amen to that, Shelley Fishman. Okay, have we peaked with the inflation?
Well,
can we?
The answer to your question is absolutely yes, mm-hmm. but only for 1 month.
Oh.
So what happened last week is we got numbers on the inflation in July.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out overall that inflation was flat. There was no increase. In fact, it was just a bit negative.
Mm-hmm.
So that would indicate we had a slowing of inflation in June. And now July, from June to July, was flat. And so you'd think, well, maybe this is coming under control. I'd like to say that because, you know, I really believe that this is coming under control. However, there's an anomaly in the numbers.
Oh.
The number was pulled down significantly by the reduction in gasoline and natural gas prices. Some other things were up a bit. And so if you take the gasoline, you know, the fuel prices out of the results for July, there were some increases in inflation. So it's not done yet.
But we're making progress.
We're making absolute progress.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Fed has been raising interest rates. They've been doing it for a couple of months now. It's too soon to really see those interest rates working through the economy. It takes time for those kinds of increases in interest rates to really see a definite result in controlling inflation. However, other things are working in the economy that are controlling inflation. For instance, as we went into the pandemic and the supply chain issues that were part of the real slowdown in the economy in 2020 and into 2021, we saw companies beginning to hedge their bets in terms of how to make sure that their inventories of products that they thought they were going to need into a recovery were sufficient to take care of the demand. And especially since supply chain issues were a problem, what many companies did was they overinvested in inventory. Quicker than most people expected, the supply chain issues began to clear up. Mm-hmm. They're almost entirely normalized by now and in many industries.
So they got a lot of stock.
They got a lot of stock, which it costs them money to maintain. Yeah. So what do? Yeah. They reduce prices. So lots of stuff was put on sale. Mm-hmm. So that had the effect of lowering the inflation numbers, and will continue to over the next couple of months, by which time, hopefully, the Fed's actions will have an effect as well. Keep in mind that the stock markets, the equity markets and bond markets, took a look at the inflation number, took a look at the reports on overall the economy and the employment number, and went absolutely bonkers. So we have now had several weeks of very, very positive returns on stocks. Now, that's not to say we're positive for the year yet. We're not.
No, but we're getting there. Things have been robust.
Very robust. Yeah. We had a little bit of craziness today. We started off way up and then went neutral, and we're back up a little bit. But what we're seeing is some interesting kind of funny stuff with numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the NASDAQ is actually in bull market territory, which is crazy since it's down for the year.
Mm-hmm.
But the definition, and it's a book definition, it's not an experiential definition, of a bull market is a couple of months in a row where the difference between the low and the high is 20% or more. Well, the NASDAQ's up more than 20% from its low. And the low occurred, I want to say, probably the end of March, beginning of April. And so it's up more than 20. So it's technically speaking in bull market territory. Do not take that to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an interesting statistical anomaly. We're also seeing the S&P and the Dow that are now, I'd have to check it right now and do the statistics, but we're in single digits in terms of the losses for the year.
Right on track for what you had predicted.
Because everything I say goes right to God's ears.
It must, because you said when all is said and done, as we ring in a new year, it will be a pretty darn good year.
I think it'll be an acceptably
considering where we were.
Year, consider especially that, where we're coming from. But, you know, we had some other things that are kind of giving the economy a little bit of a boost, or at least giving equity markets something of a boost. And, you know, we had some real good actions in Congress that the normally conservative investor community sees as positive. And Republicans don't seem to see it as positive because they're
talking
voting
about the bill
for it,
being signed into law
today. But the CHIPS bill, the infrastructure bill.
Bringing computer chip manufacturing back to the United States.
Right. Yeah. And now this Inflation Reduction Act, which is, to call it an optimistic nomenclature is probably understating it. But what we have here are some very real and almost immediate effects on inflation. So very quickly, we will see for people who are 65 and older and on Medicare, we will see Medicare being able to negotiate prices for most prescription medications that seniors use, and some real limits on certain individual kinds of drugs like insulin. So that's going to have an effect on those people for whom drug costs are a big part of the inflationary scene. That's going to really reduce that. We see some other things in this bill that can really, once again, affect how the bill is paid for. And so we have a 15% minimum tax on corporations that earn more than $1 billion a year. Now, that's the top corporations. But very often these corporations have been paying zero or close to zero taxes. So a 15% floor, if you will, is going to help to pay for some of the costs that the government is going to be spending, for instance, on the climate and clean energy. So that's good, or at least it's intended to be good.
Maybe that's one of the reasons why Wall Street has reacted positive to this.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, some people have asked me, well, that 15%, wasn't that international agreement? Mm-hmm. This is a different 15%.
Okay.
This is for the U.S. corporation's results overall. The international 15%, which Congress has not yet ratified, is only for earnings overseas. And that would be the minimum tax on corporations' earnings overseas. There's some other stuff in this bill that over time, over a 10-year period, will probably reduce the deficit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not a deficit hawk because we really don't know what number in the economy will produce inflation and what number won't. You know, we used to think it was about 90%. Now we think it's maybe 100%. We're about in deficit. About 100% of our GDP is right now in deficit. So long as interest rates stay low, and they're not, that's okay. So you know, the past 40 years have caused us to think a little bit differently about the causes and effects. But nevertheless, the markets are loving this. And even after last week's really great week, yesterday and again today, they're maintaining those gains. So that's a good sign.
And something else good, a very good session today, Shelley. You covered a lot of ground. Well done, my friend.
Thank you.
Take a break right here. We'll talk to you on the live line next week from Santa Fe, New Mexico.
I'll be at the opera.
Take a break.
Thank you.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The following segment presented by the Reed Park Zoo, founded in 1965 by then City of Tucson Parks Director Gene Reed, is an exhibit of exotic birds. Oh my, how this zoo has grown in to become one of America's top zoos, over 300 animals from all over the world and welcoming some 500,000 visitors annually. With us on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, is Jed Dodds, the Development and Donor Relations Manager and Zoo Personality at the Reed Park Zoo. Jed, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. How about yourself?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. You know, we're also just delighted to have some the greening of the desert, beautiful rains, cooler kind of summer than even we're used to. Just wondering, Jed, how are the animals reacting to the rains?
Yeah, you're right. It's been a great year so far and definitely a cooler August than previous years. That rain coming in has definitely helped us out. And one of the questions like you asked is, you know, how do the animals take to our monsoon weather? And I think it's very similar to us and to our domesticated pets where, you know, some of us love it and some of us don't. And same thing with the animals. When the rains start to come in, one of the species that absolutely loves it is the elephants. You will see them almost immediately going in the pool and swimming. They will be out in it. They love the mud. They go running around. So they're definitely a species that does like and enjoy when it rains. But some of our other ones don't so much. So you start to see that rain coming in, and the lions are sitting right next to their door to go into their off-space habitat. The primates are all kind of cuddled up, like, get me out of here. So, yeah, it really depends on, you know, the animal. But, man, those elephants, if we have a monsoon rain coming through the zoo and you get a chance to go onto our website to see the elephant camera, you'll see them swimming.
It's coming up a big day for one of your very special elephants. This Saturday, August 20th, which also coincides with Tucson's birthday celebrations. This is a big day.
It is a big day indeed. We had 8 years ago, well, almost 8 years ago this Saturday, a special addition to our zoo, and that, of course, is Nandi. Nandi is our female elephant that will be turning 8 years old on August 20th, which, as you said, coincides with Tucson's birthday. And this was a really special birth for us because Nandi is the first known elephant birth in the state of Arizona.
Really?
So this was a big deal. And 8 years ago, when she was born, it was a time to celebrate not only for Tucson, for the Reed Park Zoo, but also for elephants. And her birth symbolizes the growth and the future existence of an endangered species. And, you know, it's one of those where the Tucsonans rallied around this animal, and it was, you know, Tucson's big baby. And every year, we have people not only from Tucson, surrounding areas, but even from out of state that travel in because they have this connection with this elephant now that they want to continue to celebrate her birthday. So we put on a big show.
In the lifespan of an elephant, I guess 8 years old would still be a youngster, right?
She's just at the point where she's starting to reach sexual maturity. So at around 8 to 10 years old is when our female elephants will start going through that change and reaching that more of a sub-adult era in their lifespan. And usually around maybe 10 to 12 years old, even to 15 years old, is when we could see a a female elephant carry her own calf. And elephants carry a calf for around 22 months. So they hold the longest gestation period of any mammal on the planet.
Wow.
So it's just about 2 years. So right now she's kind of in that sub-adult phase, which is a great milestone for her. And she now has a big role as being a big sister to the second elephant ever born in the state of Arizona, which, of course, is Penzi.
Wow. Okay, Jed, we've got a lot of ground still to cover with you. I want to talk a little bit about World of Play, and then I want to bring everybody up to date about what's going on in the next couple of months at the zoo. So go ahead, World of Play.
Yeah, so we just broke ground on a dynamic area in the back of the zoo, which is our Angel for Children, Angel Charity for Children World of Play. And this is a play area, and it's not your ordinary playground. It is a very dynamic feature that will highlight several different continents like Antarctica, North America, and South America, where kids will get the opportunity to traverse ice caves and climb up into a South American hut and be able to experience climbing a North American redwood sequoia, all while, you know, seeing different animals. Now, the animals won't be live animals, but there will be penguin cutouts and the species that are endemic to those continental areas, and they'll get to learn about being a researcher all while being able to use their muscles and their minds and playing. And we know that when kids have the opportunity to be able to play and exercise, they then have the ability to learn and to retain that knowledge in a greater fashion. And so this area will hopefully be done in about a year. We're looking at June of 2023. And it is a, again, dynamic play area that we believe is going to be a hot spot for families and kids to be able to enjoy the zoo just that much more.
What a wonderful educational tool, Jed, this World of Play.
Yeah, it really will be. There'll be a lot of different activities, scavenger hunts, and what we've really dove into in the design portion of this is, one, making it accessible to all kids, no matter what their abilities are, but also we wanted it to be a spot where every time you come, you may explore something different, you may see something new, to keep that enriching and engaging atmosphere going. And there is a lot going on with this, and that's why it is taking a little bit longer. It's going to take about a year for construction, but the ice cave is going to be cooled like Antarctica, so you'll be able to walk into this ice luge that'll be cooled. I mean, we're in Tucson, so it's not going to be Antarctica cold, but you'll be able to learn what the March of the Penguins is. On the North American redwood sequoia, you'll be able to sit in an eagle's nest, which is this great big nest that our eagles will make, and it's just going to be a really fun area. It's something that our guests have been asking for, and we have listened, and we are going to deliver. So it's going to be a lot of fun to be able to see that come to fruition and open up.
Jed Dodds is with us, Sioux, Reed Park Zoo Development and Donor Relations Manager, a personality at the zoo. And Jed, I want you to talk about the big signature event of the zoo, October 7th.
Yeah, so fall is just on the brink here, and that means we are coming up on event season. The biggest one the zoo does is ZooSon. So ZooSon is our annual fundraiser. It's where we can generate some revenue that helps support everything that we do here at the zoo. And we have local restaurants that will come in. They donate their food. It's a great way for people to maybe sample some food from restaurants that they haven't visited before. And it also will have two different auctions. So a silent auction that will be online and a live auction where we create one-of-a-kind experiences that you could bid on. And one of those this year is going to be a modified kind of vet for the day. So where you get an opportunity to go around with our zoo veterinarian and learn what it takes to be a zoo vet and care for lions and giraffe and elephant and rhinos and even some of our smaller species like our birds and our arthropods.
Wow.
It's a really dynamic way to be able to generate revenue. educate, which is our primary pillar, is to be able to teach people about what's going on with our amazing animals. And then, again, have this one-of-a-kind experience that you're really not going to find anywhere else. So ZooSon, again, is October 7th. Tickets will be going online fairly soon here. And, again, it's a great way for us to generate revenue, but more importantly, to really bring our community, the flavor of the Old Pueblo, together in a really great atmosphere. I mean, where else can you sip your favorite cocktail and have your favorite food while watching elephants?
And that website again is reedparkzoo.org, is that correct?
Correct, yep, you can get all the information there for upcoming events, also our webcams that I mentioned, and all the new and fun things going on here at the zoo.
All right, Jed, my wife and I are members of the Reed Park Zoo, and we encourage all of our listeners to support one of America's really fine zoos. Jed Dodds, thank you very much.
Thank you for having us, Bill, and thank you guys for being members as well and supporting us here and everything that we do.
Thank you very much, Jed. Have a great afternoon at the zoo. Thanks.
Thank you. You too.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Coming up next, not only is the Nandy's birthday 8 years old, but the city of Tucson on Saturday, August 27th, a little older than Nandy, like the 247th birthday for the city of Tucson. Historian Ken Scoville will tell us all about it right after this.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Tom Sullivan. Join me weeknights from 7 to 10 for the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Start planning now by going to southwestnewmexico.org for your trip over to Silver City. Only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Everything looking really beautiful over in the Gila National Wilderness. Time to do some hiking and other outdoor activities and hang out in a really neat town. A lot of Victorian architecture, a lot of history in Silver City. Where to stay and what to do at southwestnewmexico.org. Tucson has a big birthday, 247th year on Saturday since the European founding of the city of Tucson. Historian Ken Scoville joins us now on the live line. And Ken, it's really a celebration about water, because water is really what attracted people thousands of years ago to this area.
That's absolutely right, Bill. And I sort of think that any time we have an event in Tucson, we always have to acknowledge that we're here because of the water. We got on the map early because we had surface flow of water. And so that's why we've had this agricultural history of 4,000 years. That's why we have the city of gastronomy designation. It's all about water.
And we have such a crisis right now with water. Ken, do you want me to read that quote, or why don't you read it?
I'll read it.
Go ahead.
This is from a quite famous book on the history of Tucson, The Life and Times of an American City by Mr. Sonicson, and it was written in 1982. And again, water is always the lifeblood. And here's a quote. Tucson, in the long run, is a city in danger. Its water supply is dwindling and may not last very long. And remember, this is 1982.
Yeah.
When the water runs out, Tucson runs out, and the desert will reclaim its own. It is impossible to predict when this unfortunate event will take place, but one thing is certain. The more the city grows, the faster the water goes, and the less time will it take for the end to come. Not a very happy statement, but it's really time for us, and we've had plenty of times in our history. How do we sort of reacquaint ourselves about every drop counts? And if you get on any national show, this is all the Western states are thinking about this.
Yep, this is a real critical time for the future, really, not only of Tucson, but for the entire Southwest. Ken, should we be planning now for the 250th anniversary?
Oh, sure. And I know I'm hoping that Visit Tucson is and some others, but, you know, in 1975, we had quite a big event. And so I'm hoping we do something for 250, and hopefully sort of like what's going to happen this Saturday at the Presidio Museum. It's a really good cultural celebration. And Bill,
sure,
would you like to read a little bit about the...
Yeah, the event is Celebrate All Things Tucson. It is Saturday. The gates open at 5:45, and the program begins at 6:15 at the Presidio in downtown, the Presidio Museum. And Ken, there's all sorts of events here, too numerous for me to go into. But it talks a little bit in this news release. The name Tucson originates from the local Tohono O'odham word. What is it? Shukson?
Well, lots of different people tried it, and I'll try Shukson.
Shukson. Okay.
And that means a village or place at the foot of a dark mountain and near a spring, because we used to have two natural springs, one close to Black Mountain or Sentinel Peak or A Mountain as we know it today, but also down by where Barrio Viejo is, was El Oito, and that was another major water source for drinking water in Tucson. So it's always and all focused about water in Tucson. I would like to sort of mention that there's going to be, obviously, we've got to have mariachi music. There's going to be a lion dance from the Chinese Cultural Center, folk L'Oreal dancing. So it's a really cultural celebration. You're going to have some food and activities. Mayor Romero and Supervisor Scott are going to do a little opening welcome. So people that would like to get a sense about the really interesting history of Tucson, the cultural events of Tucson, and what it means to live in a desert, it's a once-in-a-year event.
Where is the Presidio Museum located, Ken?
I think for most people, almost everybody knows where the Pima County Courthouse, the Tile Dome building.
Mm-hmm.
And their parking garage is really close. Saturday and the weekends, parking, you should be able to find surface parking if you want. And realizing that the courthouse is at Church and Alameda, you go one block north on Church to Church in Washington, and you won't miss it. You have a two-story adobe building. Not a lot of two-story adobe buildings still left in Tucson. And that's the recreated portion of Presidio. There's some interesting archaeological displays that go back almost 1,800 years. But you really get a sense of our birthday founding from a European standpoint of the Presidio Museum.
Yeah, so, and it is important from the European founding. I want to spend a minute or so on this. You know, we're... People have lived in this area, Ken, as you well know, for thousands of years. But what we're really celebrating and marking on Saturday is the establishment by the Spanish crown of putting a fort or a presidio in Tucson.
Correct. And what's interesting, even with no matter what era is here, with Spanish, we all keep going back to the same place. With the Presidio Museum, all the way where the Santa Cruz used to flow, which is just about a block west, that's the emergence place of culture and people in this part of the desert. So it's where they all come together. In fact, I like to always point to the mid-rise building from the 1950s just to the south. So we keep coming back to that same place, just like we finally come back to downtown Tucson. So this is the emergence spot for Tucson, place to celebrate really culture and life on the desert.
What would you like to see, Ken Scoville, in a 250th anniversary? Other cities have kind of stretched it out over the, you know, the whole year with kind of an activity for every month. I kind of like that. What about you?
Oh, I like that very much because we have so many different resources and things to go from Colossal Cave to the national parks, to Fort Lauderdale Historic District, San Javier Mission, Canoa Ranch. So would hopefully people that are setting this up plan major events each month so we can acknowledge all of this and hopefully everybody realizes this is a great tourism promotion for Tucson for an entire year.
You know, going back to that founding, August 20th, 1775, as you've studied this, was it touch and go for a while in establishing this presidio?
Very much so. Hugo O'Connor, if people like to pronounce it but from a Spanish standpoint, or Hugo O'Connor, he essentially established the site on August 20th, and there's a proclamation that you can see, but it took years and off and on approaches to finally getting the Presidio walls up. There was a small log stockade because the Apache Indians were just eating them alive.
Hmm.
So they had to get some kind of barrier, but it took, oh, I would say probably 8 or 9 years to get the walls up, realizing it enclosed about 11 acres. So a huge fort, and they didn't stop for the summer making adobe blocks. You just had to keep making it through the whole year.
All right. Again, it's August 20th, Saturday. Presidio Museum downtown, gates open at 5:45. The entertainment in the program begins at 6:15. Ken, thank you very much. Always a pleasure. Ken Scoville.
Thank you.
All right. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, our Tuesday edition. A lot of content in the program today. Moved right along. Hope you learned something. That's why I do the show every day, to try to learn at least one fact. Every day here on the radio. On behalf of John Engineering and producing the show, we want to wish everybody a great afternoon and stick around. Dave Ramsey's show is coming up after CBS Network News. Have a good day.